You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. A prison sentence doesn't just impact the person behind those prison walls. It has ripple effects on everyone in their life, especially true for incarcerated parents. They miss birthdays, graduations, the day-to-day lives of their kids. Staying connected to their children often requires a parent to have a village of people on the outside who are willing to help. One of the most important people in Duan Quinn's village is his sister, Tondalea Jones Quinn. While Stateside was at Lakeland Correctional Facility, we recorded a conversation between the siblings about how they have stayed connected as a family while Duan is incarcerated.
My name is Duan Quinn. I'm from Muskegon, Michigan. Currently, I'm incarcerated at Lakeland Correctional Facility. I've been here about 5 years. I am serving a 25 to 75 year sentence. Well, I have three kids. My oldest is Kawana, and Kawana is 17. My younger daughter is 15, Ariana, and my son, Duan, he'll be 12 this December.
And my name is Tondalea Jones Quinn. I'm the sister of Duan Quinn. I reside in Norton Shores, Michigan. So the first question is, what are the hardest parts about being a parent while you're in prison?
Well, the hardest part of being a parent in prison is missing everything, hearing everything and seeing everything, you know, so much later than it actually happens. And sometimes through that process, you miss things. You don't hear about things, you know. It's not being able to get your input, you know, to show them the way instead of just always, you know, talking. So let me ask you a question. How would you describe our relationship?
As kids, as children, we didn't have a stable, you know, home, or we didn't have a mom and dad, like, you know, the typical family. It's kind of like what, right, you know, my kids have now. Well, we didn't have that. So, you know, there's not a whole lot of people that I had a whole lot of respect for because I didn't have a mom or a dad, right? But you were that person. So, you know, for sure, a best friend, I view you. I think I wrote you and even told you, you know, I know you've made mistakes, but even a role model, I definitely view you as a role model. You are someone that I admire and have utmost respect for. Even with the, you know, bad choices that you made, you know, that day, I know that if you could take it back, you would. How often do you get a chance to see your kids in person?
Usually I get a chance to see them 2 or 3 times a year.
Do you have a particular favorite memory of your visit?
A particular favorite memory of a visit? Yeah, I do. It was when I first came down and I held my son for the first time. It was pretty special. And I remember Ariana telling me, I guess she felt it. She said, "Well, don't worry, Dad, I'll take care of him." So that always sticks out to me. What I was feeling in that moment was, I just couldn't believe that, you know, she can read me like that. As a child, she might have been 4. And it did bring me comfort, because you want your children to be close and you're not there, so you need all the protection that you can get, you know? So I was grateful that, she, you know, her little heart touched me like that, and she was able to say that. And those words, I have a picture of them holding each other from that age. I think of that memory and the picture comes to mind, you know? You know, even though she's a child, it did bring me relief.
So when we, you know, when the kids and I, or mom and all of us come see you, how does it feel when that visit is over?
Immediately seeing you all leave, it does hurt. You got to regroup. You got to regather yourself. You know, you begin to reflect over everything, and you're hoping that you touched on everything that you want. You know, I'm the type, I write notes, you know. So before I come out, I try to write notes and put them in my head so I know to hit this, this, and that. You know what I mean? And then also, you know, it's you, it's mom, might be both of the kids. So you want to make sure you interact with everybody, but at first it's a feeling of they're leaving again. I gotta go back and start this process of, you know, being an inmate, being a prisoner again, you know. But you may look at the pictures or you think about the conversations, and before you make it back to the unit, you're like, well, that was a pleasant time. That was a great time. It was a great memory. And, you know, you bring that joy. Actually, you bring the joy back to the compound. You know, you may talk to friends or associates or, you know, homeboys or whatever you might have you. And, you know, seeing your joy, you telling them real, true-to-life stories and things of that nature, you know, it brings them a little joy and happiness, believe it or not. It's like a trickle-down effect. At times, do you feel more like a, you know, unofficial parent because of all the responsibilities and duties you have taken on helping me to have a relationship with the kids?
No, not at all. I don't know. I just feel like it's my responsibility or duty as a sister to do the things that I know you would do for me, to definitely step up and do whatever I can to help out. Yeah, they're my family. They're my blood, too. So it's not an issue at all for me. Not at all. Not one bit. Do you talk to the kids about life after you get out of prison?
That's a difficult question. Talking to the kids about life when I get out of prison. Because kids, like, next week is a long time away for them. Next year is forever. And the world changes so fast. To speak on 2033, I believe it's difficult. Every now and then, I talk about things that I would like to do with them. But as far as that date, you know, I mean, I remember me and Avery had a conversation, and she said, I'm going to be, you know, 30 years old when you get out. And I was like, well, yeah, if you believe that. I don't believe that, and I hope I get home sooner than later. But right now, yeah, you're right. And, yeah. You'll be 30 years old, and I might be standing in your basement. She's like, ugh, you know. And we kind of, you know, got past it, and, you know, but it's something that they do know. And I'm pretty sure it's, you know, devastating to them as well. What do you think it'll be like when I'm back home?
I don't know. I say this all the time, like, and you don't know how often I say this. Oh, my gosh, if my brother was home. I wish my brother was home. Like, I've been saying it from day one. I just feel like, as a whole, as a family, as a unit, our life would be so much better. You're a person that no one wants to disappoint, first of all, and you're a person that you can get your point across to us just by words, and we know that, you know, what you say, you mean. So I just know that life would be so much better if you were home. And, you know, I've always had you, you know, I've always had a big brother, and I've always been able to come to you and talk to you about anything. And, you know, a lot of times you didn't have a whole lot of time. But, you know, if I called you, you would be there. If I needed something, you would be there financially, emotionally. I remember when we were living with grandma. I just remember when you lived with grandma and she you end up having to leave. And I just remember how, you know, empty I felt. You know, I just feel that same emptiness now. So when it comes down to your kids, what advice do you try to drive home to the kids the most?
Well, first, I just think that the kids need to know that they're loved, that I love them so much, and that I'm so proud of them, and I'm so thankful that they are strong enough. I want them to know that they can be successful, that they work hard, that the reward will be worth it. I try to tell them that don't let me being in this situation be such a burden or a hamper on their life and their ability to succeed. If anything, to use it as a driving force, you know, to be a better person, to be a strong individual. How has me being locked up affected you and our family?
Tremendously. You've always been the backbone.
All right. Take your time. Gather yourself.
Yeah. You've always been the backbone of the family, you know, being the oldest. So now it just kind of, you know, it leaves a little bit more pressure on me to kind of pick up, you know, the things that you normally handle. So yeah, it's definitely affected me. You've been away from us.
Can I ask you, how have you gotten through it? What gives you strength to get through it?
I guess just the conversations, still being able to talk to you, having those conversations over the phone. And just because you're in prison, it doesn't mean that, you know, you're still here.
I know that, you know, when you hurt, I hurt, you know, and I can hear it in your voice. And I just want to tell you that, you know, I get my strength from you, from the kids, from the family. So I'm not really doing this on my own. I don't even know if I could do it without you all.
That was Duane Quinn and his sister Tondalea Quinn. Duane is an inmate at Lakeland Correctional Facility.